just step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Offstage and On the Air, Performance 332. I'm Nicole Shiro, sitting in for Lisa Sheps, along with a special guest co-host today, Ms. Christine Wong, and guest engineer Tracy Schultz. You're listening to KOOP Hornsby Austin 91.7 and KOOP.org. Each week, we take a look at theater from many angles. If it's theater, it's on Offstage and On the Air.
Any troubles and raise your cup. Yeah. Step right up.
It's Wednesday, October 21st, 2015, and today we have on Austin Playhouse with the new show The Norwegians, along with Zach Theater's Evita. And of course, we're going to have lively discussions, including news and views of theater from New York and all around the world. Stay with us. Well, hello, everyone. Tracy, I want to give you a double thanks. thanks for the awesome show remix right before us.
Thank you, thank you. Thank you so much.
And thanks for sticking around and engineering this show today.
It's my pleasure. It's my pleasure. It's like it's always interesting to be able to like do something different. And I love Offstage and On Air, so I was like happy to be a part of the team today.
Oh, well, we love the Tracy Schultz and Miss Christine.
Hello.
Oh, hello.
There we are.
Are you there?
Okay, yeah.
Ah, hello. Hey. We do that when you're not here too, Tracy, so don't feel bad, just so you know. Hello, Christine. How are you?
I'm great. Guess what I saw when I stepped inside the studio before?
What did you see?
A rainbow.
Oh, that's the picture. Yeah, Christine was coming in the door and over the actual KOOP sign. The rainbow was perfectly over it.
And guess what?
What?
I snapped a picture and I posted it on Facebook.
Oh, you did? I was about to say maybe you could put it up on the Facebook.
Yeah, I gave it to Leah. I think she's going to put it up on the KOOP website.
Yeah, well, that's awesome. Well, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
I am very glad you're here. I have to remind listeners that this week, sadly, there is no Backstage at Offstage because... Well, Tracy has to do another show right after us. He has Austin Monitor News, so
yeah.
I cannot steal him all day long. But we'll be back with that next week. I'm going to introduce all the guests. We have a whole bunch of people here. So I'm going to make sure I have everyone here from Austin Playhouse. I have Laura Toner.
Hey.
Hello. Ben Wolf.
Hello.
I have Claire Grasso.
Hi.
And Michael Stewart.
Good afternoon.
Woo! Yay. And then from the Zach Theater, I have Mr. Andrew Foote.
Hello.
And I know Lauren always likes to be in the background, but hello, Miss Lauren Lovelai. Yeah, she's hiding. She always likes to hide, but I'm going to shout her out. She's here. So the weather. The weather today is odd. It rained on my way over here, but it looks sunny outside, but it doesn't know what it wants to do.
It's trying. The rumor is it's going to come back around so it can rain on us just like today and tomorrow, so we'll see. We'll see.
Well, I don't. We need it. I'll take it. My premieres would be happy. So so let's talk about some news here. Did you guys see, did you know about the Steve Martin and Edie Brickell musical? Lisa and I have talked about it before, but were you aware of it?
I looked into it this morning. I saw something about that.
Well, they're doing this cool musical called Bright Star, and they've workshopped it. They've done it in D.C. There's been a lot of stuff going on, and they finally set a date to bring it to New York. So I think that's exciting. It's going to play beginning March 7th at one of my favorite theaters, the Schubert. I love the Schubert Theater. God, I love the Schubert Theater. So it's going over there. I'm kind of excited for them. I think that'll be interesting. I don't know. The Stills look cool, and I haven't listened to a lot of the music. I think Lisa may have played something on here before, but sadly, I wasn't paying attention. I don't remember.
I remember seeing Steve Martin perform on TV with his bluegrass band.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's good.
Yeah, he was really good.
He's working. Awesome. He's You know, he wants to be one of those ERGOT winners. He needs the Tony. Oh. I don't think he has a Tony. He's got the Grammys. Doesn't he have an Oscar?
He's got goals.
He's got goals. Yeah. So go, Steve. Go, Mr. Martin. Go. He may be on to something.
Yeah.
He may have a career.
And we discovered him.
I know, right? You heard it here on Offstage and On the Air. So kind of exciting. So Daniel Craig's been in the news a lot for shirking his Bond responsibilities. And I put that in air quotes because some people feel he shouldn't be saying stuff. But he's in the news, in my news, for good reasons. He's coming to Othello. Laura's very, very excited over there. Morning. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Well, it was rumored. We talked about it like a month ago. Like, is it going to happen? Is it rumored? And they've started announcing more of the cast.
Yeah.
They said that they aren't going to announce everything out. They will announce additional casting and dates at a later date. Well, I want more now. But they did say it is going to be in the fall of 2016.
And it's off-Broadway.
Yeah, I think it's with New York. Is it New York Theater Workshop? Oh, I probably should put my glasses on. Mm-hmm. Yes, off-Broadway performances at the New York Theater Workshop.
And I think, is Daniel Craig playing Iago?
Yes.
Yes.
It is? And then the gentleman playing Othello
is
the actor in Selma who played Martin Luther King.
Is it oh, wow. Oya? Is it Oyelowo? Is that how you say his last name? David.
Yeah.
How is it?
Oyelowo.
Thank you, Ben, because I was knew I was destroying that poor gentleman's name.
Yeah, that's a thing.
sometimes I'm bad.
But no, that's a good get, man. That guy's a powerhouse.
See, it makes you get a little excited for the theater Tracy Schultz, doesn't it?
It's like, he's awesome. He's awesome. He's doing all right.
Yes. Well, speaking of fine gentlemen, I have an obsession with Andy Karl. Yeah. I just do. And it wasn't Rocky Das Musical that did it for me. It was long before that. But I love him. And he is he's coming back on Law & Order. So I just think that's pretty cool. He is going to be, he was announced recently, he's going to be in Annie Get Your Gun with Megan Hilty. So he's not straying from the roots, but he's replaying a character that he started, Sergeant Mike Dodds, the son of Deputy Chief William Dodds. So I'm kind of excited. If you are interested in Andy Karl and his reoccurring role, you can check out Law & Order SVU. He'll be on for a few episodes.
I wish we had that Law & Order sound effect.
I know. I wish I actually just had that in life play all the time. Because that's a great... Dun, dun.
My coffee's so hot. Dun, dun. Dun, dun.
It really could be good. That's funny. Yeah. So I found this odd thing on the news, hashtag Out of Oz. And I saw Aaron Tveit, another fine gentleman that I love. And I was like, well, what does this mean? And what is this preview? And then, of course, when I Google it, everybody else is going, well, what does this mean? Is this a sequel to Wicked? What is going on? What is going on? All I did was actually find the first quote, and I put in air quotes again, episode they released for this hashtag Out of Oz. And I don't know how many episodes, still don't know much more, but I'm going to play a little bit of what that was released.
Something has changed within me. Something is not the same. I'm through with playing by the rules of someone else's game. Too late for second guessing. Too late to go back to sleep. It's time to trust my instincts. Close my eyes and leave. It's time to try defying gravity.
So... it's an acoustic version of Defying Gravity. Mm-hmm. But apparently there's going to be... I should also mention that was Rachel Tucker that all of a sudden joined in when you heard the female. Mm-hmm. So you actually can watch the video of them recording this in the recording studio. And I guess they're going to do additional episodes with other folks that have... famous people who have played past roles doing acoustic versions from Wicked. But again, I don't know who the other people are. And I can't figure out how many episodes there are exactly. And when you Google it, it seems everyone else is mind stumped. It's like mind boggled and stumped by that too. But that was kind of cool, right?
Yeah, that's great.
Pleasant surprise.
I love him. I love him. I was bummed his show Graceland just got booted. Daniel Sinjato was in that too. I was like, it's a Broadway lovely show. So
this hashtag out of Oz, it sounds like webisodes meets music videos meets behind the scenes cast reunions.
I guess, and they flashed the title is hashtag out of Oz, Wicked Studio Sessions. But that's all I can find. I was like, I'm going down the rabbit hole trying to find something that I can't find. So I got excited. I'm going to move on to another little thing that we have to play a clip for. Lisa laughed at me when I asked her to take this video and make it an MP3 file. She entitled the file Fake Jack Black. I laughed really hard. So I wasn't excited. I was kind of like, does Andrew Lloyd Webber really have to do School of Rock and make it a musical? The movie's so good. They did a number the other day. Oh my God, I cannot wait to go. I'm so excited. First of all, you know I get excited with the talented kiddos on the stage. These kids are awesome. And they really took the script and the funny parts and they wrote it into a song. Now, my mom this morning said to me, Jesus Christ Superstar is one of your favorite musicals. The man can rock. How could you doubt him? Mom, I've been watching the Phantom stuff for so long. I doubted him. I'm sorry. But let's play a little clip of these rockin' kiddos. And this is the number You're in the Band.
Do here is the cast of School of Rock with You're in the Band.
Music speaks to you. And that is what matters the most. You, Zach, let's waste some time together, shall we? Put this on. All right. The grab a hold of your axe and try to pluck out this riff.
I could have played the whole thing. The little girl playing the cello has these pigtails and she's all with this face and like, oh my God. I'm excited. I'm so sorry. So Sierra Bodges is in it. She's playing Rosalie, who we know Andrew Lloyd Webber loves because he wrote the sequels to Phantom for that lovely lady. And she got her start with The Little Mermaid, which was just here in town. But I'm pumped about this. Winter Garden Theater, November 6th starts previews and December 6th it opens. So I got to take Morgan, our little New York roving reporter, and get her to go. And review that bad boy. I sent you the clip so you can watch the kiddos.
Do you think people will watch it and think fake Jack Black
the whole way through? Here's the thing. I didn't. It's hard. I mean, that I said to Mom, that's a hard one. That's Jack Black. You know Jack Black in that movie. But he didn't seem like he was trying to play Jack Black to me.
Cello.
I mean, but that's written in the script like that. Yeah. What are you going to do? But didn't you find it interesting that they wrote, like, those were really, like, the script? Who knew? I'm so sorry because I cannot remember your real name in life, but you're Ned Schneebly in the movie. Ned Schneebly wrote the movie. The guy who played Ned Schneebly, who he went into fake substitute teacher for, and I cannot remember his name. I'm so sorry. But, you know, I didn't think he expected. He's like Sylvester Stallone, wrote the movie and got the writing credit. Same old thing happened in Rocky. I mean, did Sly think he was going to be on a credit? Listen, I still love the Rocky. I'm sorry. That was cool. The moving regulation size boxing ring, that was cool. Yeah, I don't know. And I should say, the guy's name is Alex Brightman. I just keep going, the dude playing fake Jack Black. His name is Alex Brightman. I enjoyed it. That was what I was worried about.
I love the kids. I liked it too. I enjoyed it. But when I saw him, I was thinking, he plays a good Jack Black. I didn't think Look at Mr. Schneebly.
Well, it's interesting because I think Rock of Ages fell into that problem once the movie came out. I know it was a stage version first, but once the movie came out and then it went to the stage, you could see the difference in the casting. Yeah. And it was, but.
Like, Grease is forever John Travolta, Olivia Newton-John.
You know, they're doing it live on TV, and you know who's playing Danny Zuko.
Fake John Travolta.
Aaron Tveit. our Aaron Tveit we just chatted about. And Julianne Hough is playing.
Fake Olivia Newton-John.
Fake Olivia Newton-John. So there you go. So kind of really cool. Al Pacino's coming back to Broadway tonight.
Oh wow!
I know. I wish I could.
I saw Al Pacino at Target.
I know. Like, where was this?
It's like 12 years ago in West Hollywood when I was living in Los Angeles. And I was like, is that Al Pacino? He's like my height, which is like 5'1 and a half.
Isn't it mind-boggling how short everyone really is?
But you know how I knew it was somebody? It was 3 o'clock in the afternoon. He was wearing a black trench coat and sunglasses. And he didn't shave, and he looked like he might not have showered.
Duster and his sunglasses gives it away, folks.
But he was with his two kids and someone who looked like a nanny. And then so when I went to ring up my whatever I bought at Target, he was standing right behind me. And I was like, oh my gosh, I think that's Al Pacino, but I don't know unless he opens his mouth and says something. And so he had his kids, and I turned around and I was like, your kids are adorable. And he said, thank you very much. I was like, it's Al Pacino. And then so he was so proud because his kids are so adorable. And then he told his kids, do you want to put these toys on the little conveyor belt thingy? And he was being all doting dad at that point.
And so Al Pacino's a real man.
He's a real man who shops at Target for his kids and bought him a bunch of toys.
With a trench coat and glasses in the middle of the afternoon.
At 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Well, he is previews begin this evening for David Mamet's play China Doll.
Yes.
It's a two-person play, so Al's going to get some serious stage time here. Opens November 19th. I'm kind of excited. I would be more excited if I was going to New York sometime soon, but I think it's kind of cool. I don't know. I didn't get your face going up and down, Lauren. You know, you're not a fan of the Al Pacino? Or the David
Mamet? I was thinking
Mamet,
the last David Mamet play I saw was Race with Eddie Izzard in it, and he was fantastic. So I was just thinking about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Eddie's and that good.
There was never a production of Race in Austin. That's what I was thinking about.
Oh, is your Austin Playhouse wheels turning?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh. You heard it here live on stage and on the air. Breaking hard-hitting news. So speaking of the Schubert Theater, my favorite place in the world, there's a nice, big, beautiful plaque on the wall there that lets everyone know that a Course Line ran there for a time before some other musicals knocked it out of the park. It used to be the longest running musical. I think it's down to seven or nine. I think it's nine these days. But anyway, it's the 40th anniversary this year. July 25th was the 40th anniversary. And they are digitally remastering and reissuing the soundtrack with tons of bonus footage. I thought it was like 3 or 4 things, and I went online and looked. The album comes out on the 23rd, so 2 more days. You have to wait. But they had all this stuff on there. I was like, this is awesome. And they actually have like Marvin Hamlisch doing a lot of the numbers. So Marvin Hamlisch does sing. I was like, I can't wait to hear that one. That's kind of cool stuff. I love this show. It's probably one of my favorites. I was fortunate enough to be there the final night on the final performance when they asked every cast member to come back. And the one finale number was just every person you could possibly imagine in every space of one of the smallest Broadway theaters, the Schubert, in every little place, just all doing the number. It was so awesome. Gosh, I love that show. So I'm kind of excited about that. Oh, and how fittingly, being that it's a Course Line, it's coming out on vinyl also.
Oh.
Which I thought was a really, really cool thing. And then the other thing on the 23rd is Billy Elliot is going to be on PBS. Hmm. They are going, not the movie, the musical, just so we, they're going to do the Billy Elliot, the musical live. It's part of their great performances. And it's an anniversary of the West End. But what's kind of cool about it is one of the original Billies is coming back with other 25 current and former Billies. Mm-hmm. So if you are interested in checking out some of the Billy Elliot, that will be on the PBS. Oh. So I wanted to play something from the new Course Line, but it's not out to the 23rd, and Marvin didn't call and give me a pre.
What?
Come on. I know, right?
Get it together.
Really? So I chose a really, really bizarro version that I just found very 70s endearing of What I Did for Love.
Won't forget.
That was the Letterman. Is that not like awesomely awesome? My brother came in and goes, What version of Course Line is that? I'm like, it's not. So I quickly, I forgot, folks, the trivia question. Dun, dun, dun. So I chose one today on Evita. I'm going to do it really quickly. I'm going to do the answer near the end of the show, so save your thoughts and your answer for your mind while we have the Letterman in the background. So Rice heard a radio play about Ava Perone and had the notion of telling her story using the figure of an everyman, Che, as the commentator. The concept album of Evita was a smash. Hal Prince came across the Atlantic to direct the stage version with Elaine Page and would also handle the hit Broadway production in 79. Evita would sweep the Tonys 1-7, including awards for Patti LuPone, Mandy Patinkin, Prince, and Lloyd Webber, and Rice's book and score. Where did Ava go on her Rainbow tour?
Rainbow.
Dun, dun, dun.
Or Law and Order.
Right. And we'll be back in a few moments. We're going to hear some messages. Hello, we're back.
Hello.
So we were having a conversation if that question was her Rainbow Tour. It says her Rainbow Tour. I think the Rainbow Tour in the show is the same one in real life. But if we're wrong, someone will tell us. But I think it's the same one. So I'm going to go with, because I know all the listeners are feverishly Googling the answer. I bet you... I don't know. We'll find out. So, well, let's get to our first guest here. That's why we're here doing this show. Hello.
Hello.
So I would like to introduce Austin Playhouse, and I'm going to reintroduce you guys, and I believe I have your character names and everything correct.
We're going to find out.
If I'm wrong, you let me know. So we have Austin Playhouse here with the new show, The Norwegians, written by our local playwright, C. Denby Swanson.
Mm-hmm.
So exciting. Director Laura Toner.
Hi.
Hello, who's also artistic director at Austin Playhouse.
Yes.
Yeah, I was very proud of myself remembering that.
You're
today.
Awesome.
Ben Wolf playing Gus.
Hello.
Claire Grasso playing Olive.
Hello again.
And Michael Stewart playing Tor.
I'm still here.
You're still here. So who would like to tell us a little bit about this? This sounds hilarious. We were chatting a bit out in the lobby.
Yeah, it's a delightful dark comedy, emphasis on the dark. So we're in Minnesota, and there are a couple of women, transplants from Texas and Kentucky, and they've been wronged by the men that they loved. They've been very, very wronged, and these men need to pay. So they engage some Norwegian hitmen to kill their ex-boyfriends. And it's great because the Norwegians are the nicest hitmen, nicest gangsters you're ever going to meet.
Well, I mean, if I'm going to get one, I might as well get a nice one, right?
Exactly. And it's
because they clean up the blood.
Oh, but there you go. Yeah.
Well, it's a full service operation.
They don't need a cleaner. It's a one-stop shop.
Yeah. No, so it's a fun show. It was done up in New York. My father saw it up there about a year ago, and we've been wanting to do it for a while, and it just really fit with this spot in our season. And Colin C. Denby Swanson is a local playwright. She's fantastic. Several of her works have been done at Salvage Vanguard. I think she had something at Zach a few years ago.
Which mm-hmm. was funny. I said I loved that the two guests that we had on today were Zach and Austin Playhouse, because I met her when I worked at Zach mm-hmm. probably almost 15 years ago. When I first met her, when I was working at Zach for years, and I just thought it was cool. It's like, mm-hmm. the circle of it all coming back around. So yeah. I like it when it all comes back around.
It's the best.
So that's very exciting. And it's a small cast, right?
It is.
Is it six?
It's four.
Four.
We're missing Bonnie Hester, who plays Betty, our Kentucky native. And otherwise, Michael and Ben play the Norwegians, and then Claire plays Olive, who's our Texan. And we follow Olive's character the most, and in her encounter with the Norwegians, and then in some flashbacks with Betty, who introduced her to the idea. of the gangsters.
Oh, that's kind of really exciting. I know you guys have a scene, correct?
Sure.
But before we do that, I'm going to do our number time.
Yes.
So that way, I'm going to do a little early so we don't have to cut them off in the middle of their scene, Tracy. Andrew.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you a job. He's like, wait a minute, I thought I was in the background right now.
He's like, I didn't know if I was up yet.
Would you like to pick a number between 2 and, is it 47? Let's just do 2 and 42 because I can't remember how many they are. And you have to say it out loud to us.
Right now?
Yeah.
Okay, 18.
18. 18's the number, Tracy. Let's see what you chose.
Okay, yeah, let's see. It's this one.
Hello, I'm Liliane Montevecchi, and you are listening to Offstage and On the Air on KOOP, Haunts by Austin.
Okay, that was pretty awesome. I love her, so thank you for choosing that one today. Yes, hello. Oui, oui, Liliane. Merci. So who would like to set up a little bit of this scene? And
I'm going to set it up.
Set it up.
I'm going to set it up. This is actually the top of the play. So when lights come up, we have Olive seated at a table, and the two gangsters are looming ominously behind her. And that's all we know.
That's all we know.
So,
I was referred by a friend.
A friend?
Yes.
A friend?
Is that wrong? Is that the wrong thing to...
What's this friend's name?
Name?
Tell me the name of your friend.
I don't really... Why do you need...
Marketing purposes.
Marketing? Marketing purposes?
Yes.
Is that a euphemism?
Ofta.
No?
We don't use euphemisms, Olive.
We're Norwegian.
Minnesota Norwegian. And a little bit of other stuff.
Stay focused, Gus.
It's actually for marketing.
Oh.
Thor?
What?
I need a bulb.
A bulb?
A light bulb? This one is too dim. I can't even see your face, Thor.
Ofta.
How can I do my job if I can't even see your face?
Low-watt bulbs are great for mood, aren't they, Gus?
And the environment.
But mood isn't everything, is it now?
The environment isn't everything.
What is everything, Gus?
Trust.
Trust. Trust is everything.
Light.
Light helps trust grow.
That's profound, Thor.
Oh, sure.
You're gangsters, right? You're...
Norwegian.
Gangsters.
Okay.
The nice kind.
Nice?
So, Olive... Before we agree to kill your ex-boyfriend...
I didn't say it was my
83% of our clients want to take out their ex.
83%?
Breakups are very hard.
Especially on Norwegians.
Marketing.
I'm not a Norwegian.
We know.
I'm from...
Texas.
Texas.
Is it that obvious?
Ofta.
Still, she has a pretty face.
I do?
Gus.
I'm a little bit of a mutt myself.
Gus, remember what happened the last time?
The last time?
The last time he thought a woman was pretty.
Is she not pretty anymore?
She's fine.
I would really like to keep my face the way it is.
Oh, sure.
That's hilarious. So, you said your dad saw it in, I didn't realize it was done in New York before.
The drilling company.
So, were you able to have, I'm trying to... I lost my train of thought without getting out the words correctly. The word that came was like, that word does not go with the other words I'm trying to say.
Yeah, my dad and my sister saw it up there, and they talked to the artistic director, who was also in the production for a while afterwards. And Colin Spinnett, she hasn't been able to make to too many rehearsals.
That's where
she
was trying to go with, is Colin. But I kept getting your dad, I'm like, that is not the right word.
No,
hello.
She has seen it, so we're not surprising her with the production on opening.
She knows you're doing her show?
She is aware.
That's exciting.
Yes. And it's really fun. It starts out kind of as a traditional piece, and then in the second act has some sort of fantasy elements that come in. Claire and I have been wanting to do a dream ballet together for 4 years.
Since
and there's
we
a,
first met.
Really. And there's a dream ballet.
Is there really a dream ballet?
There really, really is, Nicole.
Oh, who did the choreography?
It was a combined effort. We drew mostly from Baryshnikov and...
it was the company's experience informed the ballet a great deal. Yeah,
it's a thing. You guys are cracking me up. So who are? Why don't you on the production team for this show?
So let's see. Lighting design by Don Day, who does most of our stuff. Glinda Wolf did the costumes. She's fantastic.
Yes, she is.
My little brother Mike Toner did the set design.
That is so awesome.
He's also great. Mm-hmm. And Joel Mercado C, who is fabulous with everything, did the sound design for the show. And so he's There's some internal effects which are pretty fun, and then a lot of the pre-show music is all murder ballads, and so I actually had to have him move one to a different place in the sky. It's like, I can't listen to that before the show starts every night. It's too awful. It's just awful. I was like, Joel, this is horrible. I'm used to nice gangsters. I can't.
It was a little too overwhelming.
Yes, it was. I was like, I'm just going to be crying in the lobby.
That's exciting. So how did you guys feel about working on a piece that, you know, and you're trying to do your research, there isn't a lot out there. I mean, do you know what I'm saying? Like, you
right.
can't
they
draw
call
on other experiences
Norwegian gangster
or see
friend.
How other people yeah. mm-hmm. fall. Well, I don't know. Maybe they have a pocket of
they
Norwegian
I've
gangster
asked them
friends.
Not to tell me if they did that.
They have a secret Rolodex we don't know about. So, I mean, a Norwegian gangster friend. I mean, Norwegian gangster's not your typical...
Yeah, not my wheelhouse.
Character no. all the time. So, yeah, how'd you, was it exciting, daunting?
It was a little bit of both, you know. Being a Minnesota Norwegian is a little bit different. You don't want to make fun of anybody, you know.
No, but I went to school in Chicago, and I was like, phew, right back there when you guys were talking. I was like, ooh.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Yes.
But yeah, absolutely. It's been a blast to work on. A lot of, you know, the character bits are all in the script. So it was really just a matter of, you know, staying true to the script and then using our funny voice.
And funny voices really do.
Balletic influences to really shape the rest of the show.
A lot of these people seem like SNL characters to me.
Say that again.
A lot of these people seem like SNL characters to me, so I was just watching a lot of my favorite comedians.
You know, I could totally see that from just that little,
that little bit
that you didn't hear. How long is the actual runtime on the show?
It's short. The first act's about 45, and the second act's about 35 minutes. So it's a two-act play, but
yeah.
It moves really quickly.
Ooh,
and it started out, I haven't talked to Colin about this much, but it started out as a 10-minute play that she expanded into a full length.
Really?
That's in the notes I have about it, yeah.
Really? So you haven't opened yet, so you're opening this weekend, and how are rehearsals going?
I'll let them answer that.
Funny you ask, Nicole.
Well, I heard you were doing a show, Claire. So I thought you might be able to tell me about it.
They're going great. We're having a lot of fun. We get to
yeah,
dance
been,
on stage in the Dream Ballet. It's like the culmination of everything I've wanted for my career.
I feel like we needed the video camera today so we could have had the Dream Ballet coming.
So are the Norwegian gangsters in the ballet?
Okay, we can't tell you everything.
Okay. I was just like, whoa, that blew my mind.
It's a question too far. You gotta save something
for... We have to watch the show.
Exactly.
That's yes, what we have to
in
do.
In the, and if you want to find out what happens or know about what is Norway, you can go visit mm-hmm. Austin Playhouse.
Yep. Tour in a tutu?
Yeah.
Tour. I will be there.
I didn't hear
yeah,
tutu.
For this. All the information about the show, that's... Austin
so
Playhouse.
You're running dates at, you know what? Mm-hmm. I'm going to give that information, but I wanted to ask you another question mm-hmm. about something going on Austin Playhouse that I think is so cool, and it's happening for the Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
So would you like to tell us about
sure.
this little evening you have planned?
Well, one of our company members is Bernadette Nason, who is a
rock star,
fabulous professional storyteller, and she will be performing at 2 p.m. and 4 p.m. on Halloween, some tales for a dark and stormy night. And so she's saying they're appropriate for about age 4 and up.
I'm just about to ask, mm-hmm. Is it dark like your music you had to move, or is it a little lighthearted dark?
It will be slightly spooky, but not... hopefully nightmare-inducing. So perfectly appropriate for small children, and they can come in costume if they like.
Oh, we like the family-friendly. Again, yeah. The children's, I love
yeah,
the stuff.
Very
get
family-friendly.
Them loving yeah. the theater early.
So it'll be fun. We're looking to add a lot more Theater for Youth offerings this year.
Oh,
that's
be fun.
Yeah, yeah, that's really yeah. exciting. And you have a gala coming up also,
we
don't
do.
You?
We have all the things going on right now. We're a little
I
blurry.
Was about to say, like, mm-hmm. unlike Laura yes. must be going a little crazy it's, right just, now because they're bit. All boom, 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 boom.
Yeah, so that's on November 8th is our big gala. I know, right around the corner. And then we open Philadelphia Story on November 20th. So,
you
hi.
Just have all this spare time.
I do. I do.
So, you know, when nothing's happening, I'll just call you and be like, Laura, mm-hmm. really? You got some spare time. So if folks wanted to find out about the Bernadette Nason in the evening, along with the gala, everything's up on the website.
Mm-hmm.
So, which is austinplayhouse.com. Well, thank you so much,
thank
all
you.
Of you, for coming today. That was Austin Playhouse with the Norwegians by C. Denby Swanson. Running October 23rd, that magical day of everything happening, good things, through November 7th at Austin Playhouse. For more information, you may visit austinplayhouse.com.
Oh. Today, did you say
Minnesota? Do you guys like my Minnesota song?
So
that's actually from a musical called A Don't Hug Me County Fair by Phil Olson and Paul Olson. And then I was shocked because it's like every other famous person you can imagine was in it. I was like, really? But yes, it was hard to find. There was no songs on Norwegian hitmen or Norwegian in the Broadway world. So I was like, what about Minnesota?
And you found it.
Minnesota there was.
Minnesota.
So that sounds fun and hilarious and kind of exciting. Yeah. So Christine, we have
yes.
a little local section here.
We do.
I believe you have something local going on tonight I was going to talk about even before I knew you were co-hosting. So why don't you tell people about your little local thing going on tonight?
Why, thank you, Nicole. Tonight we're having a stage reading of my new show, People of Color Christmas, The White Elephant in the Room. It's going to be at Ground Floor Theater at 7:30. So if y'all are around, check it out.
Yeah, but you were doing something really cool with it. Aren't you filming it?
We are also filming it. We have a filmmaker on board. His name is Christopher Kim. He's been nominated for 3 Lone Star Emmy Awards. He's filming the creative process of this because it's a brand new original contemporary play, Austin-based, Austin cast devising it. And he's going to film the stage reading and also the audience talk back today. And it's going to go into a larger work, a short film documentary that we plan to submit at film festivals in the future.
So is this, that's going to be the one short film, or is it going to be the short film going to be a compilation? I was fascinated by the film aspect of this.
Yeah.
So I was like, what is she doing? I love mixed mediums.
It's a 2-for-1 special. So we're doing a new play. Let's film the creative process and see what it's about. So he came and he filmed the auditions. He filmed when we let the actors know they were cast. He's filming tonight. He's filming the closing show. He's filming the closing show talk back as well. And so cataloging this process.
Which I don't think people have really cataloged the process. I mean, mm-hmm. well, I'm a course line. That is the,
yeah.
I mean, that is an audition, but, and it is real people's mm-hmm. stories, mm-hmm. but I don't think there's a lot of, you see musicals done as movies and mm-hmm. shows or taping of, we're going to do this inside of this, you know, like the play with the movie within the play kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But I don't think
yeah.
everyday general public knows about that.
Yeah.
Crazy.
That's cool.
Audition
stuff.
Process.
And I think it's fun just when you watch a movie to see the bonus clips and to see that part of it. So why can't we have that in a live theater? Why does it only have to be on a DVD, you know, of a Hollywood production or something? And so one of the things we're going to trace is the evolution of an original rap song that one of our actors has written. And then he auditioned with it. And then in tonight's stage reading, he's going to perform that rap song with a brand new track and beat that we have with our musical producer, who is a hip-hop producer in town. And then the final night, we're going to have a special party surprise with a song.
That's
so
cool.
It's going to be multimedia fun stuff.
I'm not a filmmaker, so I can't do this. But, you know, I think it would be kind of cool if I could find a filmmaker friend to do this through all the theaters. I mean, we're such a strong art community. We're such a strong theater community in this city. I mean, that's a lot of who we are in Austin and the threads of who we are.
And we have film festivals in this city. We should produce things that are local and showcase it.
But it would be so cool if we were the first movie, Austin, to show the rehearsal process, the creation process, through multiple different organizations, working on multiple different budgets, and show how we're, you know, kumbaya. I don't know, my magical, mystical world. So again, I'm not a filmmaker, so I wouldn't even begin to know where to begin on that one, but maybe someone somewhere will get excited. We do have some closing stuff going on this weekend. A lot of closing stuff. And I'm going to do like kind of a quick fire. Last week's guests both were on House on Haunted Hill. That closes this Saturday, the 24th. I believe you're going this weekend.
I'm going on Friday.
Oh, see?
I want to scream. I want to be scared.
Yes, and that's a stage version of the film, House on Haunted Hill. That's at Ground Floor Theater. That's done with Weird City Theater. Also, a few weeks ago, we had on The Vortex and their Salvador Dali's Naked Feast we talked about, which is naked. So it's not for the children's. That is going on the 24th also. The Barrensmans, who were just here, Much Ado About Nothing, that's closing on the 24th. And then The Vortex... I did The Vortex. Yeah, I just cut and pasted my thing off Funky. I'm like, I just did The Vortex. That's so weird. And also The Quarry at Hyde Park Theater is closing on the 24th. So you can find more information on all this stuff at vortexrep.org, hydeparktheater.org, groundfloortheater.org, and Barrensmen, I believe they're .com. They could be .org, but it's Barrensmen. And all that information is listed on Now Playing Austin. Also, I have the trivia answer.
Can we do the Law and Order sound effect?
Dun, dun.
Gun, gun. Gun, gun, gun.
Oh, I'm going to ask all of you guys for what you think your answer is. Disembodied voice Laura in the background. So we were talking about Evita here. And the question was, where does Ava go on her rainbow tour? Andrew, you're like the lone man. Our Austin Playhouse people left you, the man playing Jay,
so I'm stuck.
In the
I'm
dust.
Stuck to give the answer.
So do you have any idea? I was really wrong and off on this in my own personal guess. So
I feel like I have an unfair advantage, but I'll give the answer if you'd like.
Go right ahead.
And wouldn't it be funny if I ended up being wrong?
No, I'm wrong a lot.
Okay, Spain, France,
yes.
Italy, and she... And bonus points, she didn't get to go to England.
Oh my goodness, that's almost how they wrote it. Ava goes to Spain, Italy, and France on the Rainbow Tour, but not England. So you not just only won the trivia question, but the bonus too. Now I needed the sound effects today. Woo!
So that's the bonus?
I guess so. That was my bonus today. Here we have it. And I always make a joke to Lisa that we have to have a song for this. Dun, 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 today in theater history. Dun, 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 dun. This made me like laughed because I just was like, what a great name for a show. 1975, the long neglected 1915 Scott Joplin opera Tremontia gets a Broadway debut at the Gershwin Theater. It runs 64 performances. I didn't look up the show, but doesn't that kind of sound fun and exciting? I don't know. I thought it was funny. 1981, Playwrights Horizon opens the Christopher Durang double bill of The Actor's Nightmare, and Sister Mary Ignatius explains it all to you today. Elizabeth Franz played the nun whose pupil all despise her, and Clive Barnes wrote in the New York Post, Durang takes irreverence to the points of saintliness. He not only makes a profession of it, he turns it into a religion. It runs for 974 performances. This was interesting. In 1990, underpaid and underrated theater actors get a boost today when Lloyd Richards, producer and director of August Wilson's The Piano Lesson, commits to sharing future profits with cast members of the show. The show had been running since May of 1990, and it ran for a total of 328 performances, with the cast receiving at least some share of the profits. Yeah, Andrew's given a the.
Well, the Hamilton cast a couple weeks ago was they're negotiating to get some profits as well. It's a big story in New York right now.
I think it's which fascinating. Is cool. It's like the Green Bay Packers owning their own football team. Yeah. I think that's awesome.
It's like the cast of Friends when they all got together.
They did.
Unionized, sort of. Yeah.
I thought it was cool. But speaking of this one's with my friend James Carpinello, who actually was in the original cast of Rock of Ages we spoke of earlier. But 1999 through the disco era is long dead. Producers mount a splashy stage adaptation of the film Saturday Night Fever, starring one James Carpinello and Paige Price. It boogies for 501 performances. And then I knew Lisa would read this for me because I love my sports. And speaking of the Green Bay, in 2010, Lombardi, Eric Simonson's biographical sports play that takes audiences to the living room, locker room, and gridiron of football coach Vince Lombardi, opens at Broadway's Circle in the Square. Dan Lauria stars as Coach Lombardi with Judith White as his wife and Keith Nobbs as a young reporter who comes to stay for a week. And I was so bummed I didn't get to see that. Birthdays today. One Georgia Brown, 1933. One Simon Gray, 1936. One Carrie Fisher, 1956. And one, because he's been, I guess, the man of the hour today, can we guess? 1983? One Aaron Tveit. Apparently, he's come up a lot today. And I didn't know it was his birthday until after I had chosen that other. I was like, oh, of course it is. Why wouldn't it be? And we have a big local birthday of someone tomorrow, theater-wise here in Austin, and I cannot remember it, and it's making me sad. So, stinkery roo. I'll have to think of it and do a post. So, we're going to hear a little song, play some, and come right back here with Zach Theater.
I'll just have to save him.
Well, hello. The quick birthday was Jamie Hilbolt, musician here in Austin that plays a lot of shows over there at the Zach Theater. Yeah. Tomorrow is my good friend Dion Flynn, Big Daddy. You will know him as playing Obama on The Late Show. He has a wonderful show in New York called the only brown kid in the trailer park. He's awesome. I talk about him a lot. So Big Daddy, his arms span give you a hug for days. So it's why I call him Big Daddy.
He does the best President Obama.
He's so talented. Oh, another day. So happy birthday to him. And then one Shannon Ritchie, stage manager extraordinaire this weekend, and one Rosalind Ferris upcoming this weekend. So I'm going to shout out to some Austin peeps.
And one other birthday. What? Yesterday was my mom's birthday.
Oh, happy birthday, Mom.
Yay, happy birthday, Mama.
Bon anniversaire. So, all right, let's talk Evita. So we have here with us today one Andrew Foote playing Che in Zach's production of Evita.
Hello.
So hello, how are you?
Pretty good.
So why don't you tell us about Evita in case someone could be living under that rock and maybe doesn't know what we're talking about.
Evita is a rock opera written by Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Another topic of the day. He and Aaron are the men of the day.
Yes, and it's the story of the former First Lady of Argentina, and the balance of the story takes place between 1933 and 1952 when she passed away. I was trying to think of a cool way to describe her, and I'm sure many people have tried this over the years.
I was about to say, there's probably many descriptions.
It's kind of, and I think what the audiences take away, at least I think with the show, is that if you were to imagine Marilyn Monroe and Hillary Clinton married Richard Nixon.
You know what?
For American audiences, I think that's how they would understand it, because there's so much conflict about how we feel about all three of those figures, and that's how Argentina, even to this day, thinks about Eva Perón. I mean, she was started out as an actress, and then she started to have more of a political voice, and then she fancied herself a politician, but married a guy from the army who also was a politician, and he became the president, and then she wanted to become vice president. And I'm not going to give away the ending, but, well, she dies. Okay, I give it away. But so, that's the basic story. And so and it's told in a really interesting way.
I was about to say, it's told in a really interesting way.
Yeah.
And yeah, there is a lot of, depending on where you are in the world, controversy on your beliefs or thoughts of what you think of Ava. I think the show doesn't put that in your face.
No.
You go in enjoying a show and wanting to learn more about a time in history and about these interesting people and characters and time. And, you know, I got to give a view to this one. No matter what I see and no matter what political house I see, you know, where the president lives, anywhere in the world, if they come out on the balcony, I call it the Evita box, as do most people, which is hilarious that we all associate the big balcony at Casa Rosada, like outside, as the Evita box.
Yeah. And now, I mean, if the politicians have their four fingers glued together and they kind of like, you know, wave Evita it like pose. That. But now politicians put their thumb over their fingers. It's a weird Bill Clinton move now.
Yeah.
I like the Evita one. You need to bring that back. Tell those politicians. Hillary Clinton, Evita Perón hands.
Perfect.
Well, you can let everyone. I was Che, and I have something to tell you.
I will tell you.
So I'm going to tell you, I saw the, when your sets were going on, and I was doing a totally different thing with Kevin Squires, who was one of the gentlemen building your set. Mm-hmm. It is out of this world.
Yeah, it's big, right?
That Casa Rosada is cool.
Yeah, it's an opulent production, that's for sure. They pulled out all the stops at Zach, which is really cool. Yeah,
I think y'all did some kind of documentary-ish things when I saw some trailers posted as well, some behind the scenes.
Yeah, that we did. You know, the marketing department did some videos and some interviews with us when we were actually, and it's similar to what you were just talking about before, when we were in process. And so there was a lot of that stuff is available on the website, just as far as the pre-marketing of again, like, what is Evita about? I think a lot of people have a lot of ideas because of the movie and the original Broadway show, but. Yeah.
But I don't think, unlike Grease or unlike School of Rock, people are not going to go in and think, there's fake Madonna, you know?
Probably not.
No,
probably,
but it's interesting to me with Evita, people who either don't know Madonna at all, and I'll think Patti LuPone or vice versa.
Right.
Yeah.
And I don't think that as many people put Elaine Page with it, which is
kind of
sad because, like, Elaine's awesome.
Yeah.
And it was revived on Broadway with Ricky Martin. Oh my gosh, I want to say Michael Cerveris. Michael Cerveris.
Yeah.
Yes.
And Elena Roger.
Yeah, and Elena Roger, who did it in the West End beforehand. So have you played this role before? Is this new role for you?
Well, it's funny, and my best friend is coming this weekend, but we spent our high school years listening to Evita in our car, screaming our heads off. So the memorization part of this was done about 20 years ago in New Jersey. But no, I haven't.
He went to high school with all my cousins and my friends.
Yeah, she's a Jersey girl. I'm a Jersey boy.
And I just loved the small world. Woo-woo. I give you a fist bump.
It's cool. I think it's interesting you were talking about the iconic nature of the parts. But I think just enough time has passed.
Yes.
I think just enough time for the movie passed.
Totally. So
they did the movie in the 90s, about 20 years after it first came into the public consciousness with the West End and Broadway show. And then now we're 20 years removed from that, and we're doing it again. We're doing it here in Zach, and they revived it. So I think it kind of, it lives in that nether world.
I just thought of something. When the Madonna Evita movie came out, I don't even know if there was internet.
No, there wasn't. It was out, but it was that, it was like the bad dial-up that took forever, and you had to be in like giant corporate office to have access to it.
Yeah, it's like that AOL screechy thing.
Yes.
And then you got a slow connection. Oh my gosh, we're old.
But the show being in that, you know, knowing it's in the collective consciousness, but not at the forefront. When the director was talking to the cast about what we were going to do, we kind of felt the freedom of saying, we're going to do it our own way. You know, we have the structure of this material, but we're going to tell our own kind of story. We're not going to be weighed down by the expectations. Mm-hmm. Like, let's change the expectations.
But
of
your
what people
role,
think of Evita.
You really get to do that because you are. I mean, this is one of the roles that's actually created. This is not based on a specific one person,
especially not in this production. Yes, that's for sure.
So you get to kind of be the narrator of the entire story and do exactly what you're talking about right now. So, I mean, how does that feel, the weight of the world on your shoulders?
It's cool. The reason Hal Prince decided to direct the show when he saw it in London was that he loved that it started with a funeral. And I my arrival on stage is in the middle of a funeral, and everybody in that who's mourning is moving in a different way, and I come out and I set the tone. I'm going to move differently. This audience and I are going to have a dialogue. It's almost like tell the audience, forget the first 5 minutes that you saw of all these people weeping and crying. I'm going to tell you the real story of who this is. And in a typical Andrew Lloyd Webber way, we have this polarizing central figure, but there's somebody in the show who's going to really tell you what it's all about. And that's what I do. That's kind of, you know, if I was ever at a loss during rehearsal of, okay, what am I doing in this scene? I went back to that. Just tell the audience what's really going on behind the scenes with this woman and who she is.
Well, part of why I really love this show specifically is it's one of the shows Andrew Lloyd Webber has written that has stood the test of time, mm-hmm. that doesn't sound dated, mm-hmm. doesn't sound like, oh, that was just of that era. Oh, this like just doesn't work anymore. Like Superstar is another one mm-hmm. of those shows.
Yeah.
And I mean, this show's almost 40 years old.
I think he really mastered his form with this one.
Yeah. Really, like, it's just mind-boggling, and I guess I shouldn't have doubted him. A School of Rock makes me go, what were you thinking, Nicole?
And also the political relevance, how now in 2015, when you drew the parallel with Hillary Clinton,
yeah.
also with a powerful political husband,
yeah.
now rising to the forefront in all of our, the next presidential election or nomination. So, I mean, that's an interesting parallel now.
And there are interesting conversations that in the show that you, I mean, I think we all wonder, you know, what goes on behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. And that's what this show does. It kind of shows some of it for the audience, and that's cool.
Well, thank you so much. We talked so much, we ran out of time because that was so awesome. I'm so excited that you're doing Evita. You have two more weekends left.
Yes.
I want to thank Andrew Foote playing Che and Lauren Lovell for coming in. That's Zach's Theater, Evita, playing at Zach's Topfer Theater through November 1st. For more information, zachtheater.org. Stay tuned next from Austin Monitor News. I'll be back next week with Lisa to do Offstage and On the Air. Christine, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
We're going out with some Tina Turner singing Aida.